So your prayers have been answered. And as much joy as they have had in coming and being part of this service this morning, I'm sure that your joy is equal to that. Thanks to Travis and Becky for bringing them by our church and the good work that you've done in their lives too. This morning we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Gentleman wrote into the Reader's Digest and said that his three-year-old was sitting in the bathroom watching him as he removed his dentures and began to clean them. After a few moments, the little fella looked up and he said, "Can you take your ears off too?" We're going to be talking about the armor of God this morning. And it begs the question, if I can put on the armor of God, does that mean that I can just as easily take it off? Or does that also mean that I can move around without it? Can I be a Christian and not be properly prepared for what I'm going to face today? What are the implications of being an unarmored believer? Conversely, what are the advantages to wearing the colors of the kingdom? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Father, we ask you to help us this morning with the word. We ask you, God, to change our lives because of the next few moments. The Bible tells us that the word of God never goes out that it doesn't accomplish what it was sent to do. It doesn't return void. It doesn't return empty. So God, every one of us in this room, myself included, we look to your hand this morning. And we ask you to teach us. We ask you to change us. We ask you to be glorified in our lives. And we'll thank you for this help in Jesus' name. Amen. So the command is a simple one. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's really what the LaRues have decided to do. They decided from now on, we're going to be strong in the Lord. We tried to do our own thing. We tried to go our own way. And anybody who gets baptized is making that statement, saying, I've had enough of myself. I've had enough of my own way of living. I now want to live according to the Lord. How many of us are messed up like that? You learned about Jesus when you were little. You prayed a prayer with a Sunday school teacher or a children's church worker. You're excited about the Lord on some level. Maybe you even got baptized when you were younger. But somewhere in life, you got messed up. Somewhere in life, you started going your own direction. And God's word to us today is it's time to be strong in the Lord and his power. It's time to give up on yourself. It's time to quit doing things your own way. And it's time to do it the Lord's way. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And we talked about that power earlier when we were in Ephesians chapter 1. And the Bible tells us the same power that lives in you is the same power that took Christ from the grave to elevating him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's a pretty good power. Dead, King of Kings. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us who are in Christ Jesus. That's some power. God's not messing around. He made available to us what is necessary. How many of you would agree? Whew, I needed help. I didn't just need little help. I didn't just need a tweak here or there. There had to be a revolution inside of my life. Well, there is no lack of power from God for those that are in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Catch this. It's not a fair fight whenever the children of God go out to do the will of God in the strength of God. It's not a fair fight whenever the children of God go out to do the will of God in the strength of God. Well, Pastor, how's come I keep tripping over myself? How's come I keep getting messed up? You're relying on the wrong power. You're trying to do it with your smarts. You're trying to do it with your own strength. You need to lean on the Lord. It's time to be strong in His mighty power, not your own. There's a stark contrast between those who serve the Lord armored in God and those who try to go out and do it in their own strength. Soldiers have a saying. It goes like this: I am useless without my weapon, and my weapon is useless without me. I'm useless without my weapon. My weapon is useless. It takes both of them. God has this mighty power available to us, but it's going to take a soldier to man it. You can have a man, you can have a woman, but if you don't have the weaponry of God, you're defeated before you get started. There's no use running out into the battlefield yelling, bang, 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 I got you. Ain't going to work. You need to have something with strength, something with power in it. And in the kingdom of God, that is available to us. The Bible tells us in our text that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high and in dark places. So whatever weapon you would like to carry with you, whatever fleshly weapon, it's not going to do you any good. You need the power of the Holy Spirit working through your life in order to be an overcomer of these things. And if you don't take up the weapons God has gifted you with, the work isn't going to get done. We could say, well, God's great. He can do whatever He wants, and God's will be accomplished. In the large sense, yes. But in your life, no. If you don't man up, if you don't woman up, if you don't say, okay, it's time for me to get busy, I want to become involved in this, you'll see the devil eat your lunch. The devil will take over your marriage. The devil will mess with your kids. The devil will mess with your life. You have to be strong. You have to stand up. You have to say, okay, where's my weapons at, God? Where are these things that you're promising me? How can I take back what the devil has stolen from me? If we do not take up the fight, then the enemy's going to take over our lives. He's going to mess with us terrible. Now, here's a little secret I want you to know. The devil is planning an attack against you. If we had those codes here, it would be code red. The devil is scheming against you. Verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. How many of you knew somebody was up to something? Somebody was out there trying to mess with me. The devil is scheming. Has he had any success in our day? Well, let's look at a couple of areas. Hollywood. Washington. Wall Street. Main Street. What about our educational system? You think the devil has had any inroads at all into our society in our generation? How about your family? Your health, your finances, your job. Paul's telling us we better be strong in the Lord and His mighty power, or we're going to get messed up tremendously. You see, the enemy is just waiting to pounce on you. If you're ready, if you're strong, he's going to be sorry he messed with you. He's going to find out, uh-oh, that dude's got the armor of God. But if he finds an opening, he's going to be working against you continually. Verse 13 says, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes. Have you figured that one out? A lot of days go just fine, but then all of a sudden the phone rings. Life is going, it couldn't be better. This plan of yours and the way you're conducting things is going just fine. But then, suddenly, everything changes. Part of the devil's scheme is to lull you into sleep. He plays this little muzak and gets you quiet, and everything seems to be coming together just fine. And then when you're weak, then when you're away from the Lord, it's been so long since you've been to a church service, you can't remember the last time you were there. You never left church. You just kind of faded. Can't remember the last time you had a serious prayer about anything. And when he's got you out there, when he's got you weak, when he's got you thinking you're everything you need, bang, it hits. You need to put on the full armor of God. You need to be strong in God, because when the day of evil comes, then you'll be able to stand. If you're not ready, it's going to blow you right away. There's little more satisfying in life than being able to repel an attacker or back down a bully. Probably every guy in his arsenal of stories, especially when they get to be my age, it may have gotten embellished a little bit along the way, but they remember a time when they were getting picked on and when they stood up for themselves and they turned the tables. The devil is scheming. He's coming to do some damage in your life. But if you will stand on the word of God and you will stand in faith, you will repel that attacker. The Bible says that he will flee from you if you're ready, if you are prepared. Our being ready in the power of God turns the devil's attacks into blessings. He meant it for evil, but God will turn it into good. The reason the devil wins so often is we're not ready. We're not right. We're not as we should be. So the Bible says, put on the full armor of God. Then verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So the first thing you need is your belt of truth. Buckle that around your waist. A soldier's belt not only holds his weapons, it also holds his ammo. Truth is the greatest weapon against the schemes of the enemy. The reason the devil has been eating your lunch, the reason that you've been being messed with, is because you do not know the truth. You're afraid of the wrong things. You're afraid of the wrong people. You're looking after the wrong treasure. And that needs to be turned around, and it can only happen as you know the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Whenever you're confronting a demonic attack, it is truth that will win the victory. It's not a matter of frothing at the mouth and staying up all night and getting irritated. If you know the truth, whenever Jesus repelled the devil, he always spoke the simple word of God. The word of God is powerful and active, and it will undo any scheme of the enemy. So what do I need to do in order to put on the belt of truth? Well, you need to know what the truth is. You need to soak in the truth. How many know that during the week when we're out there in the world, we're soaking in some stuff, but it's not the truth? And after a while, after you've soaked in that world, their language and their immorality and their filth, we begin to smell like that. We begin to think like that. We begin to act like that. We need more and more and more of the Word of God. The Word of God cleanses us. The Word of God teaches us. The Word of God restructures our thinking so that it's wholesome. So you need to soak in the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Fall in love with it. You say, oh, Pastor, I hate to read. Crying like a baby. Here's what you need to do. You need to read the Word of God. I put a Bible in our bathroom. I spend a little more time in there than I used to. I'm a little bit older. But it's time well spent reading the Word of God. Put a Bible where you're going to be for a while. And if you don't like reading, then put it on tape somehow. Get those things they put in their ears these days. And I'm always saying hello to people and they got things in their ears anymore. But so get good things in your ears and get the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. I went to Bible college. I literally have a degree in Bible. But my greatest education has been reading the Bible. I read it from cover to cover and then I start over again. When I first started doing it, I read it in a chronological order so that, you know, this book, sometimes in the Bible, one book comes after another, but that's not the timing of the events. I found that very helpful. Reading the Word of God is the greatest education you will ever get. I'm sure I've read it at least 30 times through. Add to that the study you do for sermon preparation and all of that. My mind is pretty well soaked in the Word of God, and that's a good thing. A lot of times I answer people, I'm quoting Scripture when I'm answering. It's in there, it's in there, it's in there. You don't have the luxury, probably, of studying the Word of God for your living. But you probably do have to use the bathroom every once in a while. So we all have an opportunity to get some of the Word of God into us. Please, don't trust every preacher that has something to say. Don't listen to every voice over the radio. Get that stuff too, yes. But get a solid foundation of what the Word of God says for yourself. Read it for yourself and then read it over and over and over again. You'll be amazed. It'll say something new to you every time you read it. It'll all be true. It'll all be solid. It'll all be relevant to what you're going through, what you're wrestling with in your life. There's nothing more important to all this armor we're going to be talking about today than the Word of God. Get a solid foundation in the Word of God. Don't settle for what sounds good to you. Insist on the truth, even if it hurts, even if it costs you something. Insist on the truth. And I believe that the Lord is raising up a new generation of people. We have been through the modern era. We've been through the postmodern era. In the modern era, everything had to be rational. It all had to be proven scientifically. In the postmodern era, we could believe two opposite things at the same time, and it was cool with everybody. You believe what you want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe. And now we're coming around to the place where people are sick and tired of wishy-washy, mishy-mushy. They're ready for the truth. There is an up, there is a down, there is a right, there is a wrong. Let me know what that is. And I believe we have a generation that is coming into that place. They want to hear the truth. They don't want to be patsied. They don't want to be pampered when they come to church. They want to hear the truth. They don't want to be pampered. They don't want to be patsied when they go to school. They don't want an education that is built on false principles. We don't want a government that is built on false principles. We want the truth. Give it to us. The truth begins with the Word of God. Don't settle for what makes you feel good or what made you feel good before, because you're going to find out doing what you want to do, getting what you want, is going to mess you up royally. That's one of the greatest schemes that the devil has. He convinces you of things of, well, God just wants you to be happy. 2 Joel 3:2. That's not in the Bible. It's not about that. And I hate to tell you this, it's not about you. It's about Him. And we get happy when we come in line with what His will and His desire is for our life. Which leads me to the next piece of equipment, that breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is a breastplate. It protects all of your vital organs. Righteousness is how you live. Not living lousy anymore, but living the way that God wants you to live. And you can strengthen or weaken your breastplate according to how your heart is after God. If your heart is weak toward God, you got a weak breastplate. If you're all wrapped up in what you want rather than what God wants, you got a weak breastplate. Your organs are in danger. Once you know the truth, then you have to decide, I'm going to live by it. What do we hear the LaRue say? We both went to great churches. We had a great upbringing. The families and everybody told us the way that was right. But we weren't listening. We were not going to follow any of that. We had a good back, but we didn't. We always knew. The Holy Spirit was always in the background saying, hey, you knucklehead, don't go that way. Go. What'd you do that for? But we weren't listening to the Holy Spirit. And so you have to, it's not enough to know the truth. You got to start living the truth. And so you follow down that path. In the 23rd Psalm, David said, "You lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake." That was a gift that God gave to David. It's a gift he gives to us. God will teach us how to live right. Now, why would I want to know that? Because that's where you're protected. When you're living in righteousness, you're protected. Your breastplate of righteousness is strong. When you're living in sin, you're unprotected. You're in danger. That goes for nations as well as people. I want to be on the path of righteousness because, friend, let me tell you, not only does the Bible teach me this, I have experienced it for myself. When you follow after God, He brings you the sweetest blessings life has to offer. And He just does it all the time. Not the stuff you're expecting, not even the stuff you thought you wanted, but just sweet little things. This morning, I come in from walking the dog. And my kids are visiting up from North Carolina. They're on their way to a job in New York. And we've got this 8.5-month-old that is just the cutest little thing you've ever seen. Blue eyes, hair that just has hair like mine, just all over the place. And I come in, I got the dog there, and he sees Grandpa, and he comes crawling as fast as he can. He comes to a sitting position, looks up, and he claps. I'll tell you what, you talk about treasure in life, God will bless you as you follow after Him, and He'll just keep showing up. But you have to have that breastplate of righteousness. I don't know about you, but when I'm not right with God, I'm not right inside. I don't feel right. I don't enjoy the stuff that's supposed to be enjoyable. I'm not feeling right about life. In fact, Paul said that's one of the greatest blessings about coming to Jesus is you have peace with God. That is settled. It's like having had a migraine and taking some of the Excedrin migraine, and 20 minutes later, you're smiling again. You just think, wow. Life without a migraine is so awesome. It's like having heartburn and you take Maalox. You know, I get a little kickback from these companies. That's why I mentioned them. And you know, about 28 minutes, half hour later, you go, oh, where's that pie? You know, and it's better than that. You've been wrestling. You've been struggling. You've been thinking you're going to get what you want, and you're getting messed up. Come to Jesus. Give it up. End the struggle today. Say, Lord, I want to walk in righteousness from now on. Righteousness will keep you safe, and it'll keep you right. A breastplate is only as strong as the commitment of its host to be pure in heart. I forget who I was talking to. Maybe it was Anthony I was talking to. And he said, you know, my desires have changed. I don't even want to do the stuff I used to think I had to do. My heart has changed. So if you're worried about that, but I really like my beer, I really like the party, I really like the this, I really like, maybe you do. It's killing you. You come to Jesus, He'll give you brand new desires in your heart and in your life. You're sitting in the middle of a whole bunch of people who couldn't ever picture themselves sitting in church. And now they're here, and they're loving it because God has given them a new heart, a new lungs, new organs underneath that breastplate. When you pray, ask God to mess with you. Lord, is there something in me that's not right? Am I treating my spouse right or not? My kids, have I been there for them? I think I'm great, but Lord, what do you think about me? My thought life, Lord, call me up short. My desires, God, let's go over them one at a time and show me where I need correction. David prayed for correction from the Holy Spirit. We need to do the same. Let Him lead you in the paths of righteousness. Plead with Him to lead you in the paths of righteousness. Our shoes are ready to share the gospel. I want to go places that need the light. I want to go places that need the light. Well, it's hard for me to be a Christian because I'm around all these people. People need the Lord. And people need Christians around them. I guarantee you're going to find this to be true. You may think you work somewhere where there are no Christians. You start standing up as a Christian, and you'll find out that others will stand up too. There are a lot of people out there, they're just afraid. They don't have the guts, they don't have the strength to make a stand. But if you'll put your gospel shoes on in the morning, if you will identify yourself as a believer, if you will let salt season your language, if you will become a believer yourself, you will strengthen others to get a backbone and make a stand with you. I challenge you this morning to try it. Find yourself a witness wear t-shirt or take a Bible along with you where you go. Start changing your language. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Hallelujah. You're going to find others who are going to come out of the woodwork. And before you know it, you might have yourself a little church where you're going to work. My mom was praying for my brother the other day. We were on the phone together, and she said, well, let's pray. And my brother's got a new job. He doesn't care for it very much. And she prayed. She said, God, may those people, I know he doesn't like working with these people, but may they come to Jesus so quickly it'll make his head spin. Isn't that a sweet mother's prayer? Not give him a better job, not help, no. Let him be effective where you have placed him. Accept your assignment and start glowing. If you don't like where you're at, guess who put you there? Now, we talked a lot about the devil a little bit earlier, and he messes with us, and he, this, that, and the other thing. But my God is greater than the devil. And if you find yourself in a place you don't like, if you find yourself uncomfortable, it's actually God's doing. Because he's doing something in you, and then he wants to do something through you. You need a stronger breastplate of righteousness, he's going to challenge you there. You need to get your heart right, God's working on you. Accept your assignment and start glowing. Then take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Your shield is your faith in God. I trust God. Bad news comes, I trust God. People come against you, I trust the Lord. Don't go naysaying and boo-hooing and breaking down. I trust the Lord. God has had this in mind all along. He's working out something for my good, and I trust the Lord. That's your shield of faith. The devil will roar, he'll snort, he'll holler, he'll threaten, he'll spit, he'll charge. If he can get you afraid, he wins. But if you can stand your ground and say, not this time, devil, I don't believe you, you're a liar. Greater is he that's in me than you. I stand with God. That's your shield of faith. Responding to the devil's tirades with faith in God is like meeting a torch with a bucket of water. It's like meeting a fastball with a home run swing. It's like meeting a hornet with a fly swatter. And then the Bible says, put on your helmet of salvation. When you put on a helmet, everybody knows what team you're playing for. Put on your helmet of salvation and protect your brains wherever you go with the word of God. Then start praying flamethrower prayers of all kinds. When you're dressed right, when you're walking in the truth, when you've got your breastplate of righteousness, when you're living for God, and you begin to pray, all of heaven goes into action. all of earth begins to change. Flamethrower prayers in the name of Jesus. You know why your prayers aren't effective sometimes? James says it's because we're praying amiss. We're missing the mark. We're missing the mark. We're missing the mark. We're praying for stuff we want. When we start praying stuff God wants, watch out. Kingdoms are going to start melting. Heaven and earth is going to begin to move. And God is going to be glorified in wonderful ways. Wee doggy, is the devil going to be sorry he messed with you? When we all start to pray for one another, we create this protective covering over ourselves. That's what's great about being part of a church, part of a kingdom of God, praying for one another. We help to protect each other. It's good to be in the family of God. It's good to be in the army of God. So I want to ask you, are you strong in the Lord and His mighty power? Or are you just you? Are you still trying to do this by your own strength? Are you still trying to do this your own way? Or have you yielded to the Lord? Have you decided, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? And if you have decided to serve God, what's your next step? What are you going to do about it? How are you going to get more word into you? How are you going to serve the Lord? Don't just think about it. Do something now. Put a Bible in your bathroom. When your spouse says, "What's this doing here?" Tell them what it's doing there. Getting more word into you, getting more word into your family. Find a good church. Be constant there. Be consistent there. Make sure the kids know the name of Jesus and what it's all about. Pray together as a family. Lift up the name of Jesus. Let's not talk about it. Let's not leave it in our past. Let's do this thing. Amen? Would you stand with me?